Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on The Marvels from 2023. And in the course of this, we're going to probably touch on half a dozen of the different Marvel TV shows, movies, whatever. Because this actually tied a number of them together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to start with, I think there are four different ways to view this movie.
Okay.
And I think the way you view it or look at it when you sit down influences how you view the entire movie and how you come out of it.
Kind of the attitude you go in with?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
What are the four?
An ensemble movie.
Yeah.
A Kamala Khan movie.
Yeah.
A Monica Rambeau movie. A Captain Marvel movie.
I think there's a fifth of the passing of the torch.
Okay.
Because when it was first kind of pitched, I was expecting it to be a little of the Captain Marvel handing the baton to Ms. Marvel.
Okay.
And I would say, well, it brought in, obviously, stuff from the Captain Marvel movie. They had flashbacks to that. It had definite things it was pulling from the Ms. Marvel show. It also brought in stuff from WandaVision, because that's where Monica kind of got her powers and stuff. And it also brings in Nick Fury. You could argue if that really ties into Secret Invasion or not.
I argue not.
I was going to go on that as well, because I don't... This felt like the classic Nick Fury, not the one we got over there.
Yeah.
So I almost am considering that out of canon to, I mean, it's not, but you know what I mean? It felt wrong. This felt right. And I would have to say for me, the highlight of this film was Kamala Khan.
Yeah. I came in anticipating an ensemble movie. It felt to me like they pitched it as a team up of the three of them. And about partway through, I realized they may think they've got Captain Marvel in the lead, but it's really a Kamala Khan movie. And once I shifted my mindset to watching a Kamala Khan movie, it rocked.
I almost think they did a buddy cop kind of plot with a love triangle twist on that. And not really a love triangle, literally, but Kamala is the young hero-worshipping Captain Marvel type.
Mm-hmm.
And Monica used to be that.
Yes.
So there are a lot of times we're getting those juxtapositions.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Marvel, Carol is like never having asked for any of that sort of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought there was a lot of interesting things there. They had three people, so arguably it is a team, but it wasn't written exactly like a typical team movie.
Well, and it was interesting that Monica and Kamala took turns being the peacemaker.
Yes. Yeah. I think Monica was well used. Where her character suffered for me in this was it had been long enough since we watched WandaVision.
Yes.
I remembered she was in it. I remembered she had powers. And that's about all I remembered.
And equally for Captain Marvel, it'd been long enough since I'd watched the movie, and the way they were showing the flashbacks of she's trying to sort through her memories, so we're going to give you a jumble that she's struggling with. I'm sorry, that didn't help me. That just put me in the struggling position.
Well, figure roughly 2 hours for the Captain Marvel movie. I'm not sure what the runtime of WandaVision was or Ms. Marvel, but arguably there's 10 to 12 hours of at least content, possibly up to 14, to really go into this kind of in the know.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd had the time, sure, I would have loved to have rewatched all that stuff. Well, maybe not the Captain Marvel stuff. I didn't think that was a brilliant film. This was a much better sequel than that was the original.
Yeah.
But I think, again, so much of that, if you took Kamala out, you could have done much of what they did. But I think you needed to have a third to where when somebody was getting swapped out after two of them had met up, you would have had to have had Nick Fury or somebody else kind of in the here's what's going on while you were blipped into the other spot or whatever.
Well, and Kamala had just some wonderful reaction shots.
Her fangirling out so many times with Nick Fury, with Captain Marvel, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so much fun.
When she apologized to Captain Marvel mm-hmm. for not giving her space to be a person.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool.
There was a lot of just great character moments.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't just the fangirl. There were times it's like, oh, they may be looking for water then, or they may be doing this, or they may be. She was actively part of the solutioning.
Yes. Well, and they didn't make her wise beyond her years in terms of, or she didn't fall down in the way Wesley Crusher did on Star Trek The Next Gen.
Right.
So you have the, you know, when I was on the ship, I saw space charts. Oh, great. What were they of? Space.
Yeah.
Stars.
Like, I saw something I didn't have the context for it or whatever. But also the scene where they couldn't save all the Skrulls.
Yes.
And she really felt that.
Yeah.
I felt there should have been a follow-up conversation on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was hard. We can't save everybody. We save those we can't, you know.
Yeah.
Something to reinforce that.
Well, and there was the one line of, we have to get the ones we've got on the ship out of here. We've got to do what we can.
And that was there in the moment.
Yes.
I just think there needed to be something afterwards mm-hmm. of her either acknowledging it or being a little defiant about that.
Yeah. Well, and one of her best reaction shots was when she had used her power to create a slide so people on the second floor could get down and get to safety. And she got blipped to safety away from
swapped
there.
Swapped out, yeah, yeah. We shouldn't use the term blip.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
That swapped. Has a meaning here, but yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
But the look on her face of, but I was helping. I was using my powers in a useful way,
mm-hmm.
and you swapped me to safety instead of letting me help.
Yeah.
I'm not a kid. I'm not useless. It was powerful.
Well, the whole swapping aspect I really enjoyed. Not only because they did it really well,
yes,
plot-wise, but also visually. Like when they're training up on how to do it, and they're juggling, and they're swapping the people out, and it's like, that's just fluidly done.
Yeah.
One of the hallmarks of both Captain Marvels, and I say both meaning the Fawcett DC Shazam Captain Marvel, Billy Batson yelling Shazam turning into Captain Marvel, but also the Marvel Captain Marvels, less so with the Carol Danvers one, but the original Captain Mar-Vell that she had kind of gotten her powers from, he had what they called negabands, which are very similar to the quantum bands that Kamala has
mm-hmm.
in terms of their bands, and they have a lot of powers. I mean, they change everything up for the movies. Anyways, yeah. It got to where he was quantum entangled or whatever with Rick Jones, sidekick of the Hulk, later sidekick of Captain America for a bit, and then sidekick of Captain Marvel for a bit. So whenever he clanged the two together, they'd switch places.
Oh, okay.
And one was stuck in the negative zone. So it's not like they could just meet up later, mm-hmm. end of problem. So doing that kind of swapping out and stuff has a long history, not just with that version of Captain Marvel, but then later his son, Genesvell, and again, Rick Jones, you know, doing that kind of thing.
I do want to know how fast Captain Marvel can fly / travel.
Way too fast.
In the movie or in general?
In here. They've made her more powerful in the movies than she is in the comics. And in the comics, she's often, I think, a little too powerful. Her power stuff in the comics have always been ill-defined.
I mean, I'm just saying, she's flying between solar systems.
Yes. Well, she can go from
minutes.
A planet to its sun in seconds.
I mean, it just... mind-boggling.
Originally, she had the generic strength, stamina, flight, that kind of a thing, of, you know, generic superhero powers. But then when she became binary, that's when she started getting kind of the solar powers and stuff like that, and they've shifted it around a few times. But here, she's the Superman equivalent. I mean, not the literal power mm-hmm, set, but mm-hmm. the power scale.
Yeah.
And Monica Rambeau, who was the next Captain Marvel, and I think she was actually Captain Marvel before Carol was, because she went by Ms. Marvel at the time. Her power set was kind of access to the electromagnetic spectrum, being able to see it, sense it, and become it. So she could become light and fly at light speed and stuff, and then become intangible like a hologram or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she was able to do the desolidification stuff here, They mentioned she could see into the electromagnetic spectrum, although I never really felt they did anything with that.
No.
And when we see her kind of powered up there at the end, that felt more like how her powers were in the comics than kind of anywhere else in the movie.
The closest we got to her seeing the light spectrum, and I would put this under dropped balls category, is when she is seeing
the bangle for the first time.
In the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I list that as a dropped ball is because she never looks at Kamala's bangle the same way.
Yes. And I think she should have looked over to it as Kamala was tugging her sleeve down, because mm-hmm. Kamala's like, I shouldn't show mine at this point.
Yeah.
And again, clever Kamala.
Yes.
So I really think the juxtaposition of the characters worked well. The humor, particularly with the fight scene at the beginning of them constantly swapping.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's like three or four fight scenes going on there. That was really well done.
The use of Kamala's family in that first fight scene was surprisingly good.
I would say the use of her family, for the most part, was really good. The only part that bothered me was when they were trying to get off the space station. All of the space station personnel were kind of being taken care of, and they had to go kind of pick up the pieces or whatever. Mm-hmm.
They brought up the rear, the civilians.
The civilians. And it's like, don't you have trained people for this?
Yeah. The trained people were scared and hiding from the rescue, basically. And the civilians were bringing up the rear.
And I took that as clear comedic value.
Yes.
But a little inappropriately so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could have been handled better. And I almost would have done an end credit scene with the big guy who was getting the financial advice mm-hmm. from Kamala's father, leading a group therapy thing.
Yes, yes.
Of post-traumatic stress about cats.
Yes, yes. And he had a great scene during the rescue where mm-hmm. he was kind of in the background and plugged his nose, and it was just like priceless.
He's about to jump underwater or something. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
There were a couple of times where stuff in the background was just kind of funny like that. I think they put together a good film here.
Yeah, they really did.
I liked how they brought in, again, tangential aspects of other parts of the MCU. When they brought in Valkyrie, it would have been nice to have actually called her that.
Yeah.
And explained why Captain Marvel was calling her versus it's a friend.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're ever going to do anything with a bunch of Skrulls over in kind of the new Asgard or whatever. We'll find out. Or maybe we won't. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's one of the many things where they're planting seeds and I'm not seeing any indication of them harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're early in this segment of films post-Endgame, but even the original couple of movies, we started to see more connections and progress versus planting seeds that never come to fruition.
Yeah.
Because the other thing we got at the end was a fun moment where Kamala starts going recruiting, and she recruits one person and mentions another as a possible recruit.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no mention of, is this going to be the Young Avengers? Is this going to be the Champions? What is this going to be? And when is this going to be?
Yeah.
So I liked them dealing with the Kree Skrull animosity and stuff like that. But given how much we'd seen of the Skrulls in Secret Invasion and how much we'd seen of Nick Fury there, this didn't ring true to that. Or more importantly, that didn't ring true to the rest of the MCU. This did.
Yeah. Well, I had heard from some people that this was only an okay film, and I think they had either gone in expecting an ensemble film, which I think this doesn't really do, or thinking it was a Captain Marvel film. I don't think Captain Marvel as a character has that great an arc.
I don't think it's that great of a character either here or in the comics, but yes, I would agree, not a great arc.
I mean, really, she's dealing with the unintended consequences of an action from a previous film.
Yeah. Well, it takes the actions of the first film and shows her as having been the villain, essentially, of that.
Yeah.
And from the Kree perspective, I get it. But if you're having that be, if somebody thinks that's the title character, yeah, they're going to come out of it not overjoyed, necessarily.
Yeah. I think if you went into it thinking Monica Rambeau is going to have the great story, her story and her arc really turns around and improves when we get the flashback scenes from the series.
WandaVision?
Yes, from WandaVision. because that's when we get the she came back after the blip and woke up in the hospital. Suddenly, her mom isn't there.
Yeah.
And she finds out it's been 5 years and her mom died while she was gone. And suddenly, she's alone. Her career is no longer there. And it's just kind of her life shattered in the blink of an eye.
Well, the world moved on without her. Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Kamala's reaction to all of that.
Yes. It
rang true to the character.
Yes. But it cast a whole different light on Monica's attitude up till that point in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, you'd been feeding us that she's got baggage from childhood that she's not dealt with or let go of. And now you're saying, oh, wait, that got reinforced by a much more recent trauma.
Yeah. Well, abandonment issues.
Yes.
And given that she winds up kind of abandoning them to a degree for a good reason and stuff, but it was an interesting resolution to that. And they tease at the end, we may see more of Monica in the future as to how that plays out. I mean, there's the whole, like, Secret Wars is what they're building to and stuff. And my understanding is, unlike the comics, where a godlike entity snatched up a bunch of superheroes, supervillains, put them on a planet and said, fight. You know, here it's going to be a multiversal kind of, I guess, somebody gathers a bunch of heroes from either one multiverse or across the multiverse, or, you know, one universe across the multiverse or whatever. I don't know what they're planning. But they certainly tied in the X-Men canon of movies as a possible way to bring that in, which makes me wonder where the Deadpool 3 with Wolverine and stuff's going to be set.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
Because that arguably should be set in this other realm that we spent, you know, 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
And again, bringing back one or two key characters and voices and stuff like that was appreciated. I liked, again, how this connected to a lot of the Marvel stuff, and it was clearly set in the Marvel Universe, whereas too many of their recent things, Secret Invasion included, but not exclusively, could have been set almost in any narrative universe.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't intrinsically part of the Marvel Cinematic one. So I think they did a good job here. There were a few questions here and there. What happened to Kamala's brother's wife?
Yeah.
I think he may have phoned her at one point, but that was so tangentially done that blink and you miss it. So I think they left it such that we could and should get more Captain Marvel moving forward, whether we do or not, don't know. And having all of Kamala's family out in Louisiana helping her move seemed a little weird. And granted, they don't really have a place to stay because their place is pretty toasted. But
yeah, I think that was a them trying to accept her new friend.
If they had at least done, we have the time, our house is still getting rebuilt.
Yeah.
And oops, sorry about that from both of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there was, again, a moment that could have been had there.
Yeah. Well, and to me, that was also part and parcel of this is where Kamala's big heart came from.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, a line of dialogue where Carol kind of understands that.
Yeah.
This apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
If she had been raised differently or poorly.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have the hero Ms. Marvel clearly is becoming.
Yeah.
So, and again, it would have been nice to have had something after Kamala was out recruiting with a little, you know, transparent tablet and stuff. If you had Nick Fury, it's like, where did I put this?
I loved her comment when she first saw the transparent tablet.
It's secret. Why do you have it on a transparent tablet?
Yes. Yes.
And there was kind of, I don't know.
I loved it.
Yeah. There's a simplicity, a pureness, and a joy to that character.
Yeah.
That is just so fun to watch.
Yeah.
How many times do we get lead characters that are either over angsty or, like Captain Marvel in the first film, just boring?
Yes.
And Kamala is anything but.
Oh, she's, I mean, you hit it on the head with joy. She is a joy to watch in every sense.
Yeah. Well, and some of that comes through in Iman Vellani's writing of Ms. Marvel in the comics. She clearly has a passion for superhero stories and stuff like that. She was a fan, at least of the MCU, before she got in the MCU. She's now writing comics over at Marvel. She's read up on the X-Men because, well, Ms. Marvel's an X-Men in the comics.
Nice.
So she's taken the job seriously and seems to be having fun with it. I certainly hope she's enjoying it. It comes across as if she does.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be a real shame if she's not.
Yeah.
So I was more interested in this film because she was in it than because Brie Larson was in it.
Agreed. Same here.
And the concept of getting a younger team out there with her presumably leading it or at least coordinating it or something could be a ton of fun.
And not feeling like it has to be school-based.
Mm-hmm. Not school-based and not kind of beholden to the authorities necessarily.
Yeah.
And one of the things Marvel did well with the Champions at one point was they were a team doing the right thing because it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't gotten to the older, jaded point in life.
Yeah.
And they've got a couple of other characters that I think would be fun to toss in there. They mentioned Ant-Man's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I think Hulk's son from She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Blank slate waiting to be used.
Yeah.
And could take the place of the Amadeus Cho version of the Hulk that was in the Champions. The other key members of the Champions were Miles Morales, Nova, neither of which they've really kind of set up in the MCU really yet, but easily kind of could and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But planting those seeds, when we still haven't gotten any further movement on the Eternals, they've really kind of dropped the ball with the Inhumans.
Yeah.
They've just got so much going on. And one of the things I liked in the earlier phases of the Marvel movies was at the end, they always gave you a tease of this is what's coming next.
Yeah.
I don't know what's coming after this. I mean, I think the only thing in 2024 is going to be Deadpool, but this wasn't really pointing me directly there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were X-Men references, but...
Now, how much of that is because of the two strikes?
I think the two strikes, the retrenching on the television side of things, there's a lot.
Yeah.
That's making it a little chaotic, but there's also so little connective material between the things they're doing these days. Whereas it felt like they were always kind of just building and branching out a little bit early on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, now there's so much of the material out there and stuff that it feels a little kind of frazzled or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, there were some teases where it was very clearly teasing a character from the next movie or something like that. Others where it got to where it would be like they were doing an in-joke thing or referencing only themselves, but not really. Because like here with the X-Men, it was, that's where Monica wound up.
Yeah.
Great. We followed up on Monica. Not like we necessarily think the next thing was we're actually going to see those characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of think we will, but we've had enough times where they toss out, well, you know, somebody's going after the Eternals. Really? Who? Are we ever going to find out? Or with Guardians of the Galaxy, it took how many years between the second one where they teased, what was it, Warlock or whatever, and then we actually got him in the third?
Mm-hmm.
And then they teased another character there, and who knows how long it'll be before we get them?
Yeah.
So even when they do tease stuff, because of the gestation period on some of these things, add in the pandemic, the writer's strike, the actor strike, all those things in the past, slowing things down, it's making the MCU feel a little unwieldy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like for them to correct that by kind of pulling things in, and certainly not by abandoning.
Yeah.
Because I think DC's done that on the animated side too many times, where they do a series of things that built off stuff, and then it's like, okay, we're going a different direction now. And that sucks.
Yeah.
But overall, I enjoyed it. I thought the effects were good.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a number of places where they did a ton of compositing that really could have fallen down.
Yeah.
And
I loved some of the alien worlds.
Yeah. Some of the visuals in the alien worlds were fun.
Mm-hmm.
They really liked curved surfaces. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I thought the planet with the prince and they're all, they speak in song.
Yes, yes.
They don't understand spoken word, except for the prince. He's bilingual.
Yeah.
You know, some of that was just kind of fun. I would love to have a character from that world seen somewhere else and not played for laughs. I mean, imagine if one of them had a skill set that was useful to Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, okay, it's a bunch of people got a report. It's your turn. And this guy does some kind of technical briefing as if it's out of a Broadway musical.
Yeah.
And you would have people just kind of stunned of, wow, that was really beautiful and wonderfully insightful.
Yes, yes.
There's just, I think, a lot of fun that could be had without going for the cheap laugh.
Yeah.
And that whole bit worked surprisingly well, and it was a good entertaining dance number kind of thing. And I felt it fit more in the movie than when they brought in the song from Cats.
Yes.
Which was unbelievably appropriate for the moment, but also took me out of the, oh yeah, well, they're doing a song from Cats here, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
It made me think of a different storyline entirely.
Yeah. I still don't think Fury would be that cavalier in approaching a Flarkin or whatever they are.
No.
Given that's what cost him the eye.
Yeah.
So I think drop ball there. But again, fun. I'm not going to say it's like the best Marvel film out there, but it's certainly in the upper end.
Yeah.
And they needed that. I enjoyed that. And I want to see them build on what happened both with Monica, and I want to see more with Ms. Marvel.
I was going to say, I hope they keep doing as well by the Kamala Khan character.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. And I hope the actress stays a good champion for the character, both in the movies and on the comic side, because she's portraying the character really well and I think gets the character.
Yeah.
And it's her take on it is a little different than in the comics, but very much in line with the comics. It's not a carbon copy, but it's very parallel and adjacent. I mean, obviously the power set's a little different, but you know, whatever. So I don't know, again, what we're going to get next other than I think Echo has dropped on Disney+, but that's not honestly high on my list to watch. I never found the character fascinating in the comics, and I read somewhere that the person behind the show gave her a new power because they weren't too keen on the comic version of the character either. And wow, that's encouraging.
Yeah.
But Vincent D'Onofrio,
yeah.
Kingpin, so could be fun. But then the next thing I think is Deadpool with Wolverine, which should be a ton of fun, but may take a little while before it comes out.
Yeah.
And that may be the only thing we get in 2024. But I hope they take the time to take that step back, rethink, restructure what they're doing on the television side, their overall game plan, and kind of, again, pull things together to where it feels like we're getting different windows into the same universe. And if we miss a few, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that they give us the memory jogs like they tried to do here.
Yeah.
Because I think there's enough canon in this film that that's needed.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.